word, that your word goes out and it does not return void, knowing that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So we just say thank you this morning, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in our midst here this morning. And Lord, in all that is said and all that is done, all that is accomplished, we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be back? Huh? Could have just carried on walking up and down. Can we turn it down a bit? Thank you. Walking up and down the beachfront. Grisha and I were doing this in the mornings. And then we thought, no, let's do it again in the evenings. Mornings, evenings. So we were walking, I think every day must have been about 8, 10 kilometers. So hopefully we're very fit. And very fit to be able to share the word here this morning. But folks, I want to get straight into what I'd like to share. And the title is, The Key That Unlocks the Abundant Life. Do you know that Jesus died for us? And part of the reason was that we would have life. And life in abundance. Isn't that true? The abundant life. And we should be experiencing that abundant life. So this morning is going to be another little Bible study. Who likes little Bible studies on a Sunday morning? Oh, two? Who, anyone? Oh, okay, yeah, all right. Folks, you know, it's good that we have Bible studies. It's good that we preach and we share and whatever we do. But sometimes it's really good in church that we have mini Bible studies. And this morning, what we're going to focus on is a term that we see time and time and time again in the Word of God. And that phrase, let me give it to you, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And these words, the fear of the Lord, appear often, you know, in the Word of God. And it's really important and it's really good that we have a very good, deep understanding of what that term actually means. Why? Because there's incredible benefits. There's amazing benefits when we understand the fear of the Lord, but not only understand, that we walk in it. Right? It's no good us just hearing what the Word of God says. Folks, we need to apply God's Word, His principles in our lives. So before we leave here today, I trust that each and every single one of us will have a deep revelation of that term. What is it? The fear of the Lord. Right? You know, there's benefits, you know, for all of us being exposed to Scripture. Is that right? I mean, we need to be exposed to it, and we need to be those who are not just hearers, but we are doers of the Word of God. So that is very important. But there are huge benefits in what I'm going to be sharing here this morning. And you know, this definitely applies, what I'm saying, it definitely applies to this term, the fear of the Lord. So are we ready? Yes. One of the words that best describe the fear of the Lord is the word reverence. Reverence. Now, reverence, I know what it means. You know how I know? Because I looked it up in a dictionary, all right? And it's quite interesting. There's quite a few synonyms, but this is basically what reverence means. It means to respect, so we respect the Lord. It means to honor, we honor Him. It means to actually praise and exalt. It means to hold in high esteem. It means to show recognition. And it also means to show affection and love as well. This is when we reverence somebody, right? So when it comes to the Lord, and of course this is very important. Now, reverence produces a desire in us. When we reverence the Lord, there's a desire in us not to ever want to offend the Lord. Is that right? Okay, we don't want to offend the Lord. And I need to say this as well right up front, because people see the fear of the Lord and straight away, if we haven't spent time meditating or unpacking what it actually means, we start to get the feeling that we need to be so scared of God. We need to be scared of God. We need to be terrified of God. But this is not what it means. As I just mentioned to you, it means the word reverence. It means that we should have a reverential fear of God. And really us, when we submit to God, it is an expression. When we submit to Him, it is an expression of us having a reverential fear of Him. So I want to share here this morning some of the reasons why we should not only know what this term means, but we should have what the Lord wants us to have as we apply this the fear of the Lord in our own lives. And really, I get so encouraged. I really get encouraged. I get excited when you know we have a look at this and we start to unpack it and we start to share these scriptures. So are you ready this morning? Are you ready? Tell the person next to you, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for a lot of verses here this morning. Tell them again, I'm ready for a lot of verses, scriptural verses. Folks, let's first have a look at what God said to man. And now this is in Job 28:28. This is what God said. This is God speaking. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. So what we see here is that true wisdom cannot be separated from the fear of the Lord. It can't be. You know, many, many people think of wisdom. You know, if you don't know, you will think that wisdom is something intellectual. It's an intellectual thing. People think, you know, wisdom, if you have wisdom, that you are clever. In other words, it's a person who may be mentally sharp. They might be the sharpest tool in the tool shed, right? This is what many people think. Folks, wisdom is not being clever. Let me say it again. Wisdom is not being clever, because being clever, or let me use a word that probably doesn't exist, cleverness. Is there such a word? Huh? Cleverness. Okay. Because we have an English teacher in this congregation that from time to time comes and tells me there is no such word as that. Right. And she's not here today. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah because she's not here, but hallelujah, I'm not being reprimanded. Right? So this thing of cleverness, it's interesting because it can be compatible with evil. Is that right? If somebody's clever, it's compatible with evil because it can assist you in being evil and it can assist you in being wrong and doing wrong things. And what happens when you're clever, you do wrong things really, really well. It's true. It's true. So the fear of the Lord is not compatible with evil in any form or any way. We see in Psalm 25, verse 12, it shows another wonderful benefit of the fear of the Lord. It says, who is a man who fears the Lord? So a question is asked right there. Who is a man? Who is a woman that fears the Lord? Him or her, that person, will he, talking about God, instruct in the way that he should choose. In other words, the Lord will show him the way that the Lord will choose for him. In other words, we can be people who are led by the Lord. We are led by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. The path that we should go. Isn't that amazing? So this verse actually indicates that God does not teach and God does not instruct everybody. He doesn't. God doesn't teach everybody. God doesn't instruct everybody. God chooses His students on the basis of character. And He does not commit Himself to teach and He doesn't commit Himself to instruct those who do not fear Him. Let me read it again. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will God instruct in the way that he should go. So, folks, this is for people who have this reverential fear of God. So you can go to Bible school. It's not a bad thing to do if you go to Bible school. And you can go to the best Christian training centers in Gauteng. In fact, you can go to the best Christian training centers on the planet, but without the fear of the Lord, you are not a pupil of God, according to that scripture. You may be a pupil of your human teachers. You might be a pupil of your professors, but you are not a pupil of God, according to what it says right there. And folks, you know, this leads to some problems, because sometimes you have, you know, these, we're talking about clever and cleverness and sharp people and so on. Sometimes people go to university and they'll be studying something and then they think, oh, you know, I just need another little subject that I need to add on. And you know what they decide on? Theology. They're doing something and now suddenly they add on theology and they kind of enjoy it and they're very, very clever. They can, you know, quote all the scriptures and, you know. And the problem is that people like that, where they have not been called by God, land up by being pastors and leading churches, where the pastor doesn't have a fear of the Lord or a reverential fear of God. And folks, there are churches like that all over the place. All over the place. So we need to be mindful of this fact, you know, that really, you know, when you are called by God, it is a calling. And it is not something that you go and do because, you know, you're intellectually sharp. Amen. Is that okay? Two verses further on, this is in verse 14, we find another wonderful thought. It says, the friendship of the Lord. So, friends of God. The friendship of the Lord is with them, who? That fear Him. And He will show them His covenant. So, folks, when we have this relationship with the Lord, this reverential fear of God, we have this relationship with Him. He, not only are we close to Him as far as friendship and that goes, but it says He will show them His covenant. In other words, what happens right there, He will show covenant principles to you and I. And in fact, I was looking this up. Some translations say God will reveal His inner secrets to you when we have this reverential fear of God. We see another one in Proverbs 10 verse 27. It tells us that if we have the reverential fear of the Lord, you know that we will live longer. Isn't that amazing? You'll live longer. So it's a good idea that we have a fear of God. Is that right? Now, let me read it. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be cut short. So if you want a longer life, right, we need to choose to esteem Him. We need to hold Him in high, you know, regard. We need to love Him. We need to show affection towards the Lord. This verse doesn't tell us precisely how long we will live for, but what it does say is that we will live longer than if we didn't have a reverential fear of God. Amen? So, folks, we can't afford to live without the Lord and having a relationship with Him. Then we see in Proverbs 14, 26, this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. It's a very, very short verse, but it tells us a lot about the fear of the Lord. It says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. Right? What does this one say? Okay. Now, it's interesting. You go and look up that word there. It can be strong hope. It can be strong trust. It can be strong security if we have this reverential fear of God. So the fear of the Lord, the point I'm making, does not make you timid. It's not going to make you timid. It doesn't make you weak. You don't become a weak person because you are now a child of the Most High God. In fact, the fear of the Lord gives us strength. The fear of the Lord, in fact, this reverential fear of God will ensure that no other fears, ungodly fears, hang around you. Because if you have this deep relationship with the Lord, okay, that spirit of fear that the Bible talks about and it says is a spirit is not going to hang around you, right? You can't walk in light and darkness at the same time. So if we are walking in this, the spirit of fear that the Bible talks about, that really, how can I say, undermines so many, many people, so many believers, is not going to hang around you. It's not going to be around. Amen. And remember too, while we're talking about the spirit of fear, we have authority over it. Amen. So if ever you find yourself in a place where you are feeling fearful, for whatever reason it might be, we need to rise up and take authority over that thing, okay, so that it will go. Amen. So the fear of the Lord is really the remedy to all ungodly forms of fear. Then we see in Proverbs 19:23, this gives us the most incredible promise. Listen to this. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. Now, resting satisfied means peace. Is that true? So if we have this reverential fear of God, we should be walking in that peace that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased for us. And he doesn't stop there. He says, he will not be visited by harm. What does that mean? Where you see, I spoke about it earlier on. Protection. You will not be visited by harm. That means protection. So when we walk in this and we have this relationship with the Lord, the peace of God, you should experience the peace of God continually, and also that you are walking, as you walk through your life, you're in a place where you are protected. Isn't that amazing? So how can anybody now turn down an offer like this? In actual fact, this isn't even an offer. This is a promise. This is a promise from the Lord. And we need to embrace the promises of God. And there are many, folks. But what's interesting with the promises of God, I don't know if you've noticed, there are, with most of them, not all, but most of them, there are conditions where the Word of God will say, well, God will say, if you do this, right, I will do that. Huh? And we'll have a look at that now as well. But the same promise that I've just mentioned to us right here is echoed again in Proverbs 14:27. It says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. Huh? How's that? So there are snares out there, and there are snares of death. But if we have this reverential fear of God, folks, again, it speaks about protection. Tell the person next to you, I'm protected because I have a relationship with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? But folks, this is just incredible stuff for us if we are able to embrace it and apply this in our own lives. Here's another scripture that talks about it. This is Proverbs 22 verse 4. It says, humility. Let me stop right there. What is humility? Being humble. You know what the Bible says about humility? Because, you know, I've heard people say, oh God, won't you humble me? Don't ask the Lord to humble you. Right? The scripture is very clear. It says, humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, know what the word says. Don't ask God to humble you because, man, it's just wisdom not to ask God to humble you. Right, imagine if he did. So this is clear, folks. We need to be those who humble ourselves. So it says that the fear of the Lord, by humility and the fear of the Lord are, now watch here, riches, honor, life. What more do we need, folks? Riches, honor, life. And in fact, if you look at some of the synonyms for this as well, it means wealth, it means prestige, it means blessings, it means favor, it means abundant life. If we make a decision to walk the way the Lord wants us to walk with him, having a reverential fear of him. Now, it's quite interesting. Luke, you know who Luke is? No. Luke, you know, you have Matthew, Mark. That Luke. That guy. Do you know what other book he wrote? It's the book of Acts. And he's a doctor. He's Dr. Luke. So Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts under the anointing, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now watch what Luke says about this. This is now in Acts 9:31. It says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. That was the early church. They reached a point in those areas where there was incredible peace in the body of Christ, huh? And was being built up. So not only was the church at peace, but the church was being built up. And it goes on to say, and walking in the fear of the Lord, there it is, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. So the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you know, if we don't know what the fear of the Lord is, you know, you'll say, well, how can those two go together? If you think, you know, fear is being scared of God. No, no, no. It's holding God in high esteem, the reverence. So, and folks, those two, in actual fact, should never, ever be separated. The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, you know, that as a result, the people in the early church, they were edified. And the church, what did it do? Multiplied. That multiplied. And maybe, just maybe, that is the key to church growth. Huh? That may be the key, the key to church growth. So the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's also interesting, you have people, not in this church, okay, not in this church, people in other churches, right? You know what they say? Well, you know, now that I'm born again, I don't need the fear of the Lord, folks. Yeah, I don't need the fear of the Lord. You know why? Oh, hallelujah, I'm under grace. So I can go out there and do my thing and say, hallelujah, I'm under grace. Folks, I believe that once we get born again, that is when we really, really, really need it. Really need it. Now listen to, this is 1 Peter I'm going to be reading from. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 onwards. And we see a message written to the people who have been redeemed. These are Christians that Peter is writing to. People that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen to what he says in verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, he called you as he is holy, he says, you also be holy. How? In all your conduct. Folks, too many people, right? Holy, holy, holy Sunday morning. And then go out there and start mixing, you know, with other friends and maybe people they shouldn't be connecting with. And that holiness disappears. We call people like that hypocrites. I'm just saying, is that true? Folks, we need to be consistent in the way we, in the relationship that we actually have with the Lord. So it says here, but he who called you is holy. He says, you also be holy in all your contact, in all your conduct, all of it, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. The reason is that unbelievers are watching you. They know that you are a believer. You can't go out and do, you know, stuff that is really not pleasing to the Lord if we are walking with the Lord the way we should be. He goes on to say, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. You remember, we are going to be judged by our deeds, right? How we live our lives is what the Lord's going to speak to us about one day. According to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed. Do you know that you were ransomed? What does it mean to be ransomed? It means that somebody paid a price for you and for me. And the price that was paid was a very, very high price. It wasn't a price of gold and silver that was paid for you and I. It was the precious blood of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what purchased you and I. It says, throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold. You weren't bought with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So Peter says, folks, that as believers, when we make that decision to follow after Jesus, that we don't just sing it in church on a Sunday. I will follow Jesus. Not turning back. Let's make sure that that is the case. Amen? Let's make sure that that is the case. No turning back. He says that we should be holy in all of our conduct. You know, God paid for our salvation. How? With the shed blood. The shed blood of Jesus. And the shed blood of Jesus is the most precious gift on this planet, planet Earth. In fact, the shed blood of Jesus is the most valuable, commodity. That's it. That must be a teacher somewhere. The most valuable commodity, not on earth, but in the universe, folks. In the universe. Therefore, we should continually walk in this reverential fear of the Lord. Don't ever lower the high price that the Lord paid for us, okay, for any reason at all. It was a very high price. Now, I've laid a foundation there. Okay, so we now know, hopefully, we now know what the fear of the Lord is, do we? Okay, we know what the fear of the Lord is, and we also know what the benefits of the fear of the Lord is. So the question that we should now be asking ourselves is, how do we get it? Is that true? How do we get this? How do we get the fear of the Lord? Now, it's very interesting because Proverbs 2 tells us how to get it. And let me read it to us. Let's see. Now, this is what I said earlier on. You remember when we, you know, with the Lord, and we talk about the promises of the Lord, there are always the ifs and the thens. Is that right? If we do this, then God will do that. If we do this, God will do that. Folks, this is our journey. This is what the Lord wants us to do. So there are the ifs and the thens. Now, let's read the ifs in terms of what we're speaking about here today. Proverbs 2 verse 1. My son, if you receive my words, and if you treasure up my commandments with you, and if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, and if you incline your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight, and if you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, and if you search for it as for hidden treasures. Those are the ifs. And then it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and then find the knowledge of God. Huh? So let's just have a look at this for a moment. The ifs. Let's start off with the ifs. Verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you. So what we need to be doing is receiving God's word. And how do we do it? We receive the word of God with respect. We receive the word of God with an attitude of submission. We receive the word of God with an attitude of obedience. You know that we're going to be obedient to the word of God as well. We receive it, the word of God, as the most important thing in our lives. This is what he's saying to us. We need to treasure it, folks. We need to treasure the word of God. And we need to take the word of God and actually store it in a secret place, because it is of such value to us. Verse 2. Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. You know when somebody speaks to you and you really want to hear what they're saying? What do? You kind of lean in. Is that right? You lean in. You lean towards them so that you can hear what they're going to say to you. That's what it means to incline your ear. And really what that is, it's a demonstration of maybe a submissive attitude towards that person. Verse 3 says, yes, if you call out, what is calling out to God? What's another word for that? Pray. Prayer. So if you pray, if you call out for insight, you're praying for insight, and raise your voice, if you're raising your voice to the Lord for something, what is it called? Pray as well. And raise your voice for understanding. And really, this indicates a heart that is committed to prayer. Are we prayers, folks? Do we pray? Calling out to God for insight. Calling out to God for understanding. The next verse. Now, if you seek it like silver. And watch the next word. If you search, we see seek and search. If you search for it as for hidden treasure. Folks, we need to know that God doesn't put everything out in the open. He doesn't. God doesn't take all his precious jewels and lay them out on the pavement for anybody to walk past and pick up. He doesn't do that, right? He puts them in places where you and I need to seek for them. We need to look for them, as we've just read right here. And folks, this is how you and I need to be approaching wisdom, the wisdom that we actually need. We search for it, wherever it may be found. So I've given us the ifs. Now then, there are the thens. Do you want to hear some thens? Okay, good. So those are the ifs. Then the thens are really the promise. Is that correct? These are now the promises. Okay, the knowledge of God, folks, cannot be separated from the fear of the Lord. I just want to say that again. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. This is verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We understand the fear of the Lord, and we will find the knowledge of God. Now, it's quite interesting because even Isaiah, remember Isaiah? He was a few years before the Lord, is that right? Even Isaiah speaks about the fear of the Lord. Old Testament. I want to read Isaiah from chapter 11, verse 2 onwards. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord. There it is in the Old Testament. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Folks, you cannot separate this knowledge from the fear of the Lord at all. Okay? And you know what's interesting is that it is only the Holy Spirit that teaches us the fear of the Lord. How do I know that? Well, let's read Psalm 34, verse 11. It says, come, O children, listen to me. This is God speaking. He's saying, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So if we want to learn the fear of the Lord, where do we go? We go to God, the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit will teach us the fear of the Lord. He wants to teach us the reverential fear of God. So just in closing here, as I close, you know, I think we need to think carefully about what I've shared here this morning, because really, our whole relationship with the Lord revolves around what I've shared here this morning. Okay? And maybe, okay, let me ask a question. You know, do you want God to impart in you a greater desire of this reverential fear of the Lord? Because he says we need to ask him, and he will give it to us, right? The thing is that's really interesting, that the Lord will never force this upon us. He will never, you know, go against our will in any situation like that. And he is offering this to us. But folks, we need to receive it. I'll read it again. God speaking to you. Oh, it says, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You know, there's very little understanding of the fear of the Lord in many believers today around the world, folks. Many believers. I mean, you've been exposed to it. You know, how people, they put up their hands and they'll say that they are believers in Jesus. And the first thing an unbeliever will do, will have a look at their lifestyle. Is that right? That's the first thing they do. And in actual fact, I think it gives us, you know, gives Christianity a bad name. So if you would like the Holy Spirit to teach you more about the fear of the Lord, as we've just seen now in Scripture, why don't you just close your eyes? Just close your eyes. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. This is up to you. You can either say this prayer with me or choose not to. It's up to you. Just say these words to the Lord. Oh God, my Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. You have placed in my heart a greater desire for the fear of the Lord. A reverential fear of you. I'm asking you from now on, Lord, to lead me, to teach me, and to impart in me this wonderful treasure of yours. And that is having a reverential fear of you. I ask you this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. I think